Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, you're now once again tuned into, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? And I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr., coming to you live from Hopper Woods, Michigan. We come to you live each and every Thursday and every Saturday night from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, on tonight, we have none other than Deacon Marvin Cox. Our guest for tonight will be bringing forth and sharing with us another inspirational poem. Then he's going to deliver another word from the Lord on tonight. So as I always let the listeners know, and especially the new listeners on tonight for the first time, please get your Bibles, your pens, and paper ready so that you can follow along with Deacon Marvin Cox as he goes through God's word together with us on tonight. We always open up with prayer. We're going to do the same thing on tonight, because we do serve an awesome God who can hear and answer all of our prayers at the same time. What a mighty awesome God we serve. Heavenly Father, is in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our risen Lord and Savior and soon coming King, is in his name we come once again on tonight, touching and agreeing that you are God and you are God alone. You are the Most High God. You have and hold all power in heaven and in earth is in your hands. Heavenly Father, we come now asking that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, Deacon Marvin Cox and his entire family, and every saved believer all over the land. Forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions in the name of Jesus, so that our work for you will not be in vain. And Father, we come thanking you for your grace and your mercy on tonight toward each one of us. We ask and pray, Heavenly Father, on behalf of all those that have been affected by the tornadoes that occurred on last night in six different states. I think in Kentucky alone, over 50 people have been pronounced dead so far in Kentucky alone. So it has affected six other states. But we know that you are God and you are God all by yourself. We know that you don't make any mistakes. So we ask that you would comfort and strengthen these families that has been affected by the tornadoes on last night. All those that are bereaved for any and whatever reasons on tonight, comfort and strengthen each one of them as only you can in the name of Jesus. And then feel your peace, your presence, your joy, even your confidence, even as they grieve and they go through the hour of bereavement in the name of Jesus. And they will look unto the hills from which cometh their help. And they will always remember that earth still has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we lift up all those that may be tuning on tonight for the first time and all those that may be tuning on tonight that do not have a personal relationship with your Son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. It's our prayer, our hope and desire that something will be said through your man of God, Deacon Marvin Cox, through your Holy Spirit as you use him on tonight, that they will first hear and receive your word, and then they will open their own mouths on tonight and confess their sins and transgressions. They would ask Jesus the Christ, your Son, to come into their hearts and save them even on tonight. And after being saved, they will come to know their God purpose in the earth. Heavenly Father, we also lift up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. I lift up my cousin Mary Ann to you on tonight. Thank God that she's home now from the hospital and her brother, Pastor Norman King. We thank God for you touching their bodies, and we know that you're not through with them yet. Not only them, but my sister Gert and all others that are sick and afflicted that have ailments in their bodies, minds, and spirits. Touch, heal, and deliver in the name of Jesus, because we do know that you're still working miracles, signs, and wonders in your people, that we will be able to give you the glory, honor, and praise, and not be ashamed, and let the world know that it was you and you alone, Heavenly Father, who have healed us, delivered us, and set us free for your glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. So now, Lord, we ask that you will help us to decrease on tonight so that you may increase in us and have your way, that you will get the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, on tonight, we do have another spiritual food for thought. And it comes to us saying, no matter what you are going through, remember, God is in control. Once again, tonight's spiritual food for thought, no matter what you are going through, remember, God is in control. Isn't that comforting and a good thing to know that no matter what it looks like, no matter what we're going through, because we're all going through something. Your something may not be mine something, and my something may not be yours, but we're all going through something, especially if we're children of the Most High God and we're saved in Jesus' name. We're all going through something. The word of God lets us know that in this life we're going to have trials and tribulations, but we must keep the faith. We must hold on to our faith, and we don't want to never allow a fear or doubt to creep in, because that blocks out what God is trying to do in our lives. So we want to give God the glory and honor and praise again for who and all that he is on tonight. So we get ready to go to our music break. But before we do that, I want the listener to know that I do welcome all comments and feedback from all listeners. You can always email me at all lowercase, James_Brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. And I'm also glad to give a shout out to my pastor, Bishop James A. Jennings, Jr., and my church family, the Greater Shield of Faith Baptist Church, where I am a member. I'm going to give a shout-out to them as well. So we're going to go to our music break right now, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to yield the mic to none other than Deacon Marvin Cox, and he's going to, again, share with us another inspirational poem, and then he's going to go in directly to God's Word. So I pray that you have your Bibles, your pens, and paper ready to follow along. Enjoy the music break.
Cover me, Lord, with thy spirit. Oh, cover me, Lord, with cover me, Lord, with thy presence. Oh, cover me, Lord, with thy yourself. Oh, cover me with thy presence. Hey, oh, cover me. If you cover me, I'll be protected. If you cover me, I'll be shielded. Oh, cover me. I don't want to be exposed anymore. Cover me. Oh, cover me. Under shadow of the Almighty, I need to be covered today. Oh, cover me. Oh, with
praise the Lord on tonight. Aren't you grateful on tonight that you are covered by the Lord God himself? Aren't you grateful on tonight that you're covered by the blood of Jesus? I know I am. And we are so grateful that the blood of Jesus still works and it would never lose its power. Before I bring on Deacon Marvin Cox to deliver God's word on tonight and share with us another inspirational poem first, I want you all to mark your calendars if you don't remember or already have your calendars marked. Our next Thursday night, December the 16th, Overseer Joseph E. Jackson from Washington, D.C. will be delivering God's word over this worldwide platform. He now shares with us God's word every third Thursday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Also, every second Thursday night, Bishop Rosemary Jairu from Slidesdale, Louisiana, brings forth God's word. I'm kind of going backwards a little bit so you all can mark your calendars if you don't already have them marked. Every first Thursday night, Deacon Marvin Cox shares with us God's word. And then every second Saturday night, which is tonight, he's going to be delivering God's word very shortly. Every first Saturday night, Minister Tawan Eppinger from the Morning Star Baptist Church, where Pastor Isaiah Tillman Jr. is the pastor and shepherd, Minister Tawan Eppinger brings forth God's word. I don't have my guest scheduled yet for the 23rd of this month on the Thursday. But we know that on the 18th of this month, I don't think we're going to be doing a show because I will be out that day, that evening. So I don't think we're going to be having a show that evening because where I'm going to be at is going to be noisy, and I won't be able to take my laptop or computer into that site. So on the 18th, mark your calendars, there will be no show on the 18th unless something changed. On the 25th, Christmas Day. Yes, we will be delivering God's word on Christmas Day, the day of Jesus' birth. That man has set aside the day of Christmas Day. Pastor Norman King from Victor's Outreach Ministries, located in Greensboro, North Carolina, my first cousin, will be delivering God's word on Christmas Day. And the last Thursday of this month, Prophetess Sherry Walker Shy from Atlanta, Georgia, will be delivering another powerful word from the Lord. On the 30th of December, the last Thursday in December, again, Prophetess Sherry Walker Shy from Atlanta, Georgia, will be delivering God's word on the 30th of this month. So now we are ready to receive Deacon Marvin Cox. Deacon Marvin Cox, I now yield the mic to you.
Amen, amen, and amen again. I thank the Lord once again for blessing me to be able to bless as people. This is an extraordinary honor and a privilege and responsibility to bring forth God's word, but most importantly, to bring it forth correctly, not what I say, but what God's word say. And I'm going to read this poem, and then I immediately be going into tonight's lesson. Now, this poem is called, and some of you have heard it. I've been on the air for like the last 6 years. Thanks to the Lord and Brother Brown. And every now and then, the Lord will give me one that has already been brought forth to encourage his people. Now, the name of this poem is I Tried. And I know that a lot of us are trying, and we're still trying, and we're not really getting the results that we feel that we should get. But don't stop trying. Whatever it is that you're trying to do in the name of the Lord, it might not be pretty. It might even be painful. You might lose friends over doing it, but don't stop trying. And the name of this poem, as I say, is I Tried. I served them a meal, but they refused to eat. Then they went out into the world, and they tried to compete. A royal feast was prepared on a silver platter, but they turned up their nose as if it didn't matter. His meal had all of the ingredients, nutrients to help their minds and bodies stay strong, and all the ingredients to help them along. It was served a platter of love with a smidgen of faith. Patience and understanding were all over the plate. A serving humility to get them through the day, an ounce of forgiveness to eat before they pray. Compassion, mercy, and grace were in for a view. A cup of charity, hope, and devotion were on the table too. But some said, I'm not hungry. I'll just eat later. I remind them, I'm not the cook. I'm just a waiter. In case you didn't know, or in case you haven't heard, the meal that I serve was God's holy word. Like anybody else, I hate to see good food go to waste, but I couldn't recommend it to you if at first I didn't taste. I made sure there was a smile on my face and my hands were clean. The most important thing about serving others is proper hygiene. In order to serve, you must live a clean and healthy life. Try to avoid all the contaminants that could bring toil and strife. I found out why some people said, I'll eat later. They lose their appetite for God's word because of the waiter. So please remember in all you say and do, some people reject God's word and they blame it on you. Serving, clean up your act before you start serving others, your mothers, your fathers, your sisters and brothers. God's word won't come back, and nor will it be denied. When the Lord asks to feed my sheep, you can reply, Lord, I try. Amen. So we're going to go right into tonight's lesson. I'll be reading to you from Gospel recorded by St. Luke, the third chapter, kind of lengthy, verses 7 through 18. And it reads, then said he to the multitudes that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come, bring forth therefore fruit worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? He answered and said unto them, he that hath two coat, let him impart to him that hath none, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Then came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And they said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed to you. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. And if the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not, and answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Whose hand is it in his hand? And he will thoroughly purge his foot, purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into the garner, and the chaff he will burn with the unquenchable. And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. I've just read unto you from the gospel recorded by St. Luke, the 3rd chapter, verses 8 through 17. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the doing of his words and his will, and may it edify our souls forever. Now, if we would choose a topic tonight, that topic would be honor. I had, the Lord gave it to me, but no, I gave it to myself, but then the Lord corrected, honor thy righteous commitment. Men and women of God, honor thy righteous commitment. Now, the gospel recorded by Luke is telling us and it's informing us of the commitments that we make and the commitments that have been made to God. Now, there were several different groups of people who were interested in becoming baptized. But see, whether we know it or not, baptism is a commitment. We don't just get baptized to say that we've been doused in the water. We make it a commitment, a spiritual commitment. But see, we got to honor our commitments. We got to honor our spiritual commitments. We got to honor our fleshly commitments. We got to honor our verbal commitments. And in so doing, I'm more than sure that God will be pleased with our activity, because we began to make covenants, agreements, sign contracts, and so forth and on, have children, enter into weddings and marriages and everything. And before long, the commitment that we made in order to obtain those things, we turn our back on those commitments. But God's word is saying this evening to honor those commitments. Now, I'm going to give you a few spiritual examples, but I'm also going to give you some examples that you can identify with. Now, we know that the parable of the vineyard worker, there were some men out there that I would say that they were unemployable. They could not fill out a proper resume. But the Lord went out several, the man of the vineyard went out several times recruiting. And he went out early in the morning, the first hour. He went out the third hour. He went out the ninth hour. He went out the 11th hour. And he asked them, he said, come into my vineyard and work. And whatever is right, each man, he said, whatever is right, I'll pay. But then he had an agreement that I'll give each man a penny for his labor. And so he went out again and again and again. And then there were some people that, as I said, that couldn't fill out a resume because they were gangsters. They were drug addicts. They were people who felt that they were unemployable. But he says, why are you standing out here? They said, because no man will hire us. And you know how sometimes when people know that they got a bad record, they don't even try to work. Said, well, man, I got a felony on my record. The other one said, I'm just paraphrasing here, but you could imagine how these men and these people were making excuses. Well, hey, I got a felony. The other one said, well, you know, I've been accused of this and I've been accused of that. And, you know, I had, I'm opioid addicted. But he told him, why you stand? Come on into my vineyard, which is the Lord is telling us that no matter what your situation, no matter what your circumstances, he got a job for you. And so the ones that came in early, the ones that were eager for employment, just like they do in the plants nowadays, when their union signed the contract, they got what is known as a two-tiered wage system, whereas the ones with the seniority, they get the most money. But the ones that new hires, they got to start from a certain point and work their way up. But then by the Lord, when the payday came, they began to grumble against the good man of the house and say, wait a minute now, I've been working here all day long. And you mean to tell me this guy going to come in right off the street? And you're going to give him the same thing you gave me. And it went like Three Stooges style. The noise of you to give him what you said. But then to show you how fair the Lord is, he said, friend, he addressed the individuals, even though they were trying to be sarcastic. He addressed them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Did we not have an agreement? Did we not have a commitment? Did we not sign a verbal contract? Did we not shake hands to solidify this deal, to solidify this deal, that you would each get a penny? So I'm just saying that honor the commitment, because sometimes, just like those vineyard workers, they look at things and we overvalue ourselves. Don't believe we overvalue ourselves? Look at how much North America is making in the factories. For basically, a lot of it is unskilled workers. But then you go over to Indonesia, you go over to the third world countries, and they're making shoes. They call them sweatshops. And you see that they make working for 12 cents, a dollar, 15 cents, 35 cents a day. So we have a tendency of overvaluing ourselves, and we feel that terminate that contract because we're dissatisfied with our original agreement. But see, now we're at that point in time where a handshake means nothing. A verbal agreement means nothing. See, the pandemic took away the handshake. You know, we smashing elbows and bumping chests and everything, but nobody wants to shake your hand, because there was a time when you shook that hand and that sealed the deal. You signed on a dotted line, put your signature, which was a legal document, which you were saying that I will stick to my righteous commitment, because I think that I believe in my heart that the agreement that we just made was fair. So my brothers and my sisters, honor that agreement that you had with the Lord. I don't know the reasons why some of us came into the house of prayer, why we got baptized, why we did this, but I know each and every last one of us had a strong commitment in our heart. But see, you don't have to verbalize that commitment to the Lord, because he already knows up front of what you're thinking. He knows what you're feeling. See, at that time, see, a lot of times we do things because I felt that way at that time. We go out there and purchase an automobile, then we see that our friends or our relatives or someone has something that we like a little bit better. So we said, I'm going to have to do an insurance job on this car because I don't like this car anymore. I'm not going to stick out the note because why? I want something else. I'm not honoring the righteous commitment that I had. So this all is doing is a challenge. Brother Luke here is challenging each and every last one of us to honor that commitment that we made to the Lord. And it's not going to be easy. Now, because the Lord, he tells us, he say, the way is so plain that a blind man need not error or fool lose his way. Now, see, he said plain, but see, sometimes we get confused because plain sometimes is not easy. Nobody said that following the Lord that we're not going to run into schools that would make us second guess our choice. But he said, drop all that you have. But see, there were some that did not want to give up that because they were more committed to their materialistic things than they were on the things that the Lord had promised them. He said, I'll take care of you. Don't take no money. Don't take no coat. Don't take no script. Don't take this, don't take that. I will take care of you. Now is the time for each and every last one of us to trust in the Lord, for us to put our faith and our confidence in him. And see, I'm talking about that nonverbal commitment that you made to the Lord. And as I said, if you got baptized or you follow the Lord, you have said to yourself, Lord, if you do this, I'll do that. Well, the Lord have done this for me and for us on many occasions, but did we do that we said that we would do for the Lord? No, sir. So honor your commitment. And I'm going to go down to verse number 8 of the third chapter of St. Luke. It said, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Now see, if you think about it, if you can make a comparison, just like the sons of Sceva, these people that got baptized, it's unfortunate, but I don't care who your mother is or who your father is or who your brother is or who your sister is or how you related to a deeply spiritual person. I got bad news for you. You cannot get in on their ticket. Because, see, this is an individual thing that we must do. We must look at our own soul salvation to the extent that I work while it's day, because no night coming, no man can work. I got to put in some work because, see, God's word is saying that, hey, even though you might know, and see, that's what the sons of Sceva said. They was talking about Paul. They said the God that Paul is talking about did not even have no personal relationship with God. If you're going to call us some demons in the name of the Lord, you better know the Lord, because they would they would chase you. You know, they got a movie come out on TV. You would definitely be naked and afraid, because he whooped them boys' heads. And so God's word is saying that God is able to these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. So if you're going to be dedicated to make that commitment to someone, make that commitment. Don't do it because they got a little bit of clout, and you think that their clout is going to be able to get you where you need to be. And then we're going down to number 9 and say, now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Now, what is that saying to me? What is that saying to you? It's saying that we must be productive.
That's
in the
right.
name of the Lord. You know, we got to be productive. We can't make that commitment and go to church and sit way in the back and not do no work in the church, not do any philanthropy in the church, not encourage other people in the church, not visit other people in the church. But see, there are some that say, about all I want to do, I attended services last Sunday. But what were those services instructing you personally to do? It says, go out in the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. You don't have to shout from a bullhorn about how good the Lord is. You can show it by example, by living right before the people. And see, your life is the biggest testimony that there could ever be when it comes down to converting people to what the Lord will have you to do. And so when it's unproductive, when you live an unproductive life, it said that they will be hewn down. So you wonder how sometimes people be so prosperous, then next thing you know, they then went from that mighty place down to a low place. Why? Because they were hewn down, because they brought forth not good fruit. And we're going to move down to number 10. And the people asked him, saying, what shall we do? Now, when you ask somebody, what shall you do, and you're going to go by their recommendation, guess what? You're making a commitment. And see, sometimes we get confused in the things, and we don't have no knowledge of what it is that we need to do in order to make a deal complete. But see, this is what Luke told them. It said, he answered and said unto them, he that had two coats, let him impart to him that had none. And he that had meat, let him do likewise. See, so your charity to your fellow man is very important, because see, whether we know it or not, we made that commitment. We, you know, sometimes we say, man, I didn't know I signed up for this. But yes, you did. And the Lord is just saying, Luke is just telling us that if you got something extra, share it with your brother, because there's a lot of homeless people out there. There's a lot of people that are in need. They don't necessarily have to be homeless to be in need, but there's some neighbors that you think doing way better than what they're doing that need a kind word, a charitable word, a thoughtful gesture. So honor your commitment. It's not hard to do. But see, sometimes we get so stuffed up in pride. We get so stuffed up in vanity, egotistical things, that we forget that there are some brothers and there are some sisters that are in need and are also in want. Okay, remember I told you that there were several groups out there that want to make that commitment, that could just hear the word and see how you're living and know that it's a better way for them to live. So they inquired. So they then came also publicans to be baptized and said to him, Master, what shall we do? See, they acknowledged John the Baptist at that time as Master. And they were making a commitment because they submitted themselves. Now, you see, as I was telling you earlier, it don't matter what your situation is or what your status in life. First, you had the people that were righteous. Then you had the publicans. Okay, now the publicans were frowned down. The publicans were just hated people because they were, for those who don't know what publican is, I'm not talking about Republican, but I'm talking about the publican. The publicans were the tax collectors of their time. And they didn't look on the tax collectors highly because they were the IRS, if we go to speak. And so he told them, he says, exact no more than that which is appointed you.
Okay.
What you saying to me, Deacon? You know how sometimes somebody might borrow $10, but we say, man, you're getting $15 back. Say exact no more. In other words, what did Sapphire and Uriah, when they got their heads together and they began to extort the church and said, wait a minute, we can't get a church this much money. They wanted more, or they conspired to not give what was fair or what they had committed to give, which is sometimes what we do, we overcommit or we undercommit when we could have did just a little bit better. But see, God's word is saying, don't do people like that. Now, I know one thing. When my grandchildren, when they come and want to, you know, looking for a small business person loan from granddad, I said, look, I'll tell you what, I'm going to loan this to you. And if you have to go to that ATM, I tell you what you're going to do. You might want to borrow $20, but I tell you what, you're going to give me that $20 back, and plus, you're going to give me that transaction fee. Because other than that, I'm giving you that which they charged me to make the transaction fee. But see, that's what appointed to me, because they're going to charge if I go get 20. And if you got an ATM card, a debit card, or you got a credit card, you know that when you go to that, hit that machine up, that they're going to charge you extra. They're not going to say, okay, well, you got $20, so that's what you got to pay us back. No, sir. So the word is saying that don't overcharge people for your charitable acts. And then the soldiers likewise, the men of him saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. And see, it's going down to wages again. Once that commitment is made, see, first thing most people do when you say, I got a new job, first thing that the majority of people I know do, well, how much you making an hour? Well, I'm making such and such an amount. And then they create a jealousy in your mind that automatically, before you go to working on that job, you feel that the man is cheating you. But honor your commitment. Man of God, woman of God, honor your commitment. Do not allow what the world is trying to do to you. Don't allow it to prevent you from put in a good day's work. Don't allow their wages, because we will do that. When you got any type of dissatisfaction with anything, it causes us to do one thing. One thing that we should never do, we withdraw our services. We feel that we're being cheated. We feel that we're overvalued ourselves when there's somebody out there that will do it for less than half and do it more enthusiastically than we could ever do it. Don't feel that nobody is obligated to you, because the Bible says that a man shall earn his bread by what? Over there in Genesis, the 3rd chapter, 19th verse, that a man should earn his bread by the sweat of his brow. That if man don't work, he don't deserve to eat. So stop sticking out your hand thinking that somebody is supposed to do something for you. Now, the Lord will open up that opportunity if you keep your commitment to him. If you keep that spiritual commitment, Lord, you follow those rules, because over there in 2 Corinthians, over there in Corinthians, when the Lord was at the supper table, he said, this is the new covenant in my blood. So this is a new agreement that we have. See, sometimes when your boss see that you've been productive, he said, look, I tell you what, I feel, but let him say it, I feel that we're not paying you enough for the services that you have rendered. Now, how many times have the Lord torn up your contract and said, you know what, I'm going to bless you more. Because the work that you're doing, I'm going to compensate you for that. Your time, your tithings are on time. You've been paid for in your tithe. So we go over to Malachi, the third chapter. See, if you tithe, if you come back to me and do what you're supposed to do, I will open you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So in other words, you can be overflowing with blessings if you keep your commitment. If you maintain that commitment that you made to the Lord. And see, we try to make it hard, and we try to say, well, you know, this bill and that bill. But I tell you what, if you pay the Lord's bill, I promise you, he will pay your bills.
Yes,
because whatever
Lord.
We're going through right now is just a temporary inconvenience. So whatever it was, your commitment that you made into the Lord, continue to do what it is. Now we're going to move right down to verse 15. It's saying as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their heart of John whether he were the Christ or not. See, sometimes, and I guess the word would be, don't get it twisted. Because those people that have given us good advice, those people that have been in our corner, don't be confused about who the Lord is. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the Lord is working through those people. Because if the Lord had not touched their hearts, had not touched their minds, had not touched their pockets, you would not be the recipient. See, that's God. See, but somebody, a stranger, come up to you and offer you something or give you something. Hey, sometimes we get so confused in our flesh and so grateful that we get confused who that stranger is. But believe it or not, that stranger was motivated because, see, that demon is not going to be charitable towards you. If he gives you something, I promise you, he's going to want 10 times more than what he gave you. He's going to give you that just to hook you. That's how the dope man used to do a long time ago to people, to these young girls. They would give them. And then when they develop a dependency, that's the same way cigarettes do people too. I'm going to use cigarettes as an example. You know, most people that I know that were smokers, they started off smoking cigarettes because it looked cool. But I'm telling you, once these things turn into your taskmaster, then they're gonna put an unnecessary demand on you. Your commitment is going to increase. It's gonna put the pressure, it's gonna turn the screws on you. Why? Because your commitment has went from a spiritual, from a playful thing to a physiological thing. Your commitment has went from the spirit to the flesh. Now, we can't allow that to happen. That's why when we got these different problems going on in our mind and in our homes, that we got to turn it over to the Lord. That's why we got to honor those commitments. That's why the Lord says that he will bring all things back to your remembrance, as I have commanded you. So it's not that hard. If you make an agreement, as I say, keep that agreement. If you tell somebody you're going to do something, do it for them. Don't make no empty promises. Don't promise something that you don't have no intentions on following through on. Because that's what gets in trouble. That's what has gotten a lot of people in trouble down through the years. Well, Lord, if you do this, I'll do that. If you save my child, I promise you I'm going to serve you more. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. That's a commitment, whether we know it or not. And remember, when an individual's word, say, all I got is my word, and, you know, I'm kind of down and out right now, but as soon as I As soon as I get on my feet. Some people get on their feet and be standing on one leg because they not, hey, they ain't even got to be on their feet no more because they flying around in airplanes. And they forget all about that commitment they made when they were down and out. So God's word here is telling us. And we're going to go back to verse number 8 of that third chapter in Luke. It says, bring forth therefore fruit worthy of repentance. We got to bring something that, you know, because, hey, if it's no good to you, then it's no good to the Lord.
I know that's right.
You know, something, you know, but if it's good to you or good for you and it holds a certain amount of value, you know how people give you things and you say to yourself, wow, this is nice right here. And I know that they say one man's junk is another man's treasure, but when somebody gives you something, they give it to you out of their heart and you got some use for it, then you appreciate it just that much more. So, my brothers and my sisters, whatever commitment that you made to the Lord, to your husband, to your wife, to your children. Now, we started off with a poem called I Tried. Try your best, because sometimes you might make a commitment to go to a house of prayer, and then that demon don't want you to go, and then you go out there, and you'll get halfway, and your tire fall off your car, you get a flat tire. But see, your heart was in the right place because why? You made that effort to go. And the Lord, he knows that because the demon don't want you to attend services in the house of prayer. He don't want you to keep your commitment. He's going to do everything that he can to try. But see, even before it happened, the Lord knows that sometimes, you know, a lot of people that have been on their way to church and got detoured for some reason or another. Or they called back and, hey, you know, somebody just broke into your house or somebody is in your garage and you turn back around to investigate it. And before you know it, the time to expire. So, my brothers and my sisters, I adjure you, I beseech you, I beg of you to honor your commitment. Whatever it was, see, and I'm not going to intrude on it because whatever commitment you made is between the Lord and you. I'm not going to say you and the Lord because the Lord is going to always come before, first. So it's between the Lord and you. So I thank God for this opportunity to bring forth his word. And remember, to honor. It don't take much. And if you can't do it or something happened, don't try to duck and dodge people. Just tell them what happened, and hopefully they'll understand. Because there's much money out there been loaned, and then you call, you know, people so friendly, then you call 3 or 4 times and never get in touch with them because they don't want to honor that commitment of the day that they say they'll pay you back. So may God bless you. And may ever keep you. And I'll turn you over in the hands of Brother Brown.
Amen. Praise the Lord, Deacon Marvin Cox, for that word on tonight. A much needed word for such a time as this and such a time that we're living in on tonight. Yes, we all need to take an examination of our own lives and make sure that we are being fully committed to God and to the promises that we made God when we gave Jesus Christ our life and our heart. So we will serve God until we die. We are on the battlefield for the Lord. We're going to serve him until we die. No matter what comes, what may, no matter what goes, we're going to stay on the battlefield. We're going to fight the good fight of faith. We're going to keep the faith until he say, well done. So thank God for you, Deacon Marvin Cox, for this word on tonight. I know that it has been received. I listen intensively to this word on tonight because this word was for me as well. And I know this word was for someone else other than myself. So if you are a pastor or bishop or overseer or a prophetess or whatever your position may be in Christ, you too, this word was for you as well. or whatever position you hold in the body of Christ, we all must make sure that we are being totally committed to our word to God, that we were gonna, that we're gonna do whatever He called us to do. We're gonna fulfill our God purpose in the earth for God's glory, not for man's glory, but for God's glory. So once again, Deacon Mother Cox, thank you for this powerful word on tonight. Once again, I know that it has been received by others other than myself. So for this, we give God glory, honor, and praise for this word that just came forth through you as you were led by the Holy Spirit to share with me and the worldwide listeners on tonight. So for this, we're grateful, and we give God the glory, honor, and praise. So you continue to stay faithful, Deacon Marvin Cox, to your commitment to the Lord. And you, my sister, you, my brother, even for myself, we must stay faithful, stay humble, stay meek, stay fully committed and dedicated to the work that God has assigned to our hands, individually and then as a corporate body of believers. Because believe it or not, some people don't believe that we need each other, but we do. We need each other. That's why I always let the listeners know that we need to encourage one another in God's word. We need to constantly, fervently pray one ye for another. Because God knows what we're going through. We're all going through something. So, and the word of God also lets us know that is when we gave our life to Christ, He said that in this life we're going to have trials, we're going to have tribulations. Well, He have overcome the world. Because just like Jesus have come overcome, we who are believers in Jesus Christ, we have overcome too. And we are victorious as well. And that's why we can honor our commitment to God. So we thank God for you, Deacon Marvin Cox. Thank God for the listeners on tonight. I pray that you have received this word and you have been blessed by this word on tonight. Honor your commitment from Deacon Marvin Cox. And also enjoyed the poem, I Tried, by Deacon, from Deacon Marvin Cox. We get ready to close out for tonight. As we close out for tonight, we want to continue to lift up all those that have been affected by the tornadoes that hit on yesterday, I think in 6 different states so far. The high winds and I think in Kentucky alone, it killed over 50 people so far that they have counted. So far, over 50 people have lost their lives due to the tornado from last night. Other states so far, according to CNN News, have been affected by the tornadoes, the many tornadoes that touched down last night. So we want to continue to lift those people up in prayer, because the Word of God says that we are to pray one year for another, because we don't know, just like it happened to them, it could be us. But by God's grace and mercy, we are still here, and that's why we're going to continue to give Him glory, honor, and praise for who He is. He is worthy to be praised, and there is none like Him. Son of God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come once again, touching and agreeing, knowing that You are God, and You're God alone, and You're worthy of our praise, no matter what we're going through, no matter what it looks like. Through it all, You're still worthy to be praised, and we say hallelujah anyhow. Our soul says, yes, Lord, to Your will and to Your way, that You would be glorified through each one of us individually and then as a corporate body of believers. Now, Lord, we pray and lift up every man and woman of God that's going to deliver Your word on tomorrow, whether they're in the house of God or whether through social media. We pray, Lord, that You would use them on tomorrow, that souls will be saved, that they deliver Your word, backsliders will come back to the fold, and that the body of Christ will be built up and strengthened and edified on tomorrow, that You will get the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Continue to bless every listener that faithfully tunes in to this worldwide platform and ministry. Even to those that are tuning on tonight for the first time, continue to bless them all and grant them the desires of their hearts is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, on tonight, remember, I love you. Know that God loves you even more. So until the next time, continually be blessed of the Lord. So remember, next Thursday night, you want to tune in to hear a word from the Lord from Overseer Joseph E. Jackson from Washington, D.C. will be delivering God's word on next Thursday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Until next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.